On the subject of wireless data, with apologies to dire straits, how, after these Winter Olympics, some will sing, I want my fast 5G. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, there's news the Trump administration wants to roll back more climate emissions regulations put in under Obama. The Trump team wants to let companies drilling on federal land to let more methane get out into the atmosphere. Marketplace's sustainability reporter Scott Tong is following this.
Methane is a very potent greenhouse gas. It actually traps more heat in the environment than carbon dioxide does on a short-term basis. In oil and gas production, it can get out, sometimes by accident, and sometimes the companies get rid of it on purpose. Sometimes they burn it off or they vent it out because it makes their operations more efficient. It doesn't work to transport it back to a place where they can sell it. This is the Trump administration's fourth attempt to get rid of this regulation.
This is an administration that is not shy about seeing fossil fuels as central to America's energy plans. How would easing the rules on methane getting out into the atmosphere fit into this?
This administration, it's been transparent and overt about energy dominance, right? It plans to pull out of the Paris climate deal. It's taking another look at the auto fuel efficiency standards. It's trying to undo rules on coal-fired power plants. So none of this is under the table. This is all very transparent on behalf of oil and gas production.
Scott, thank you. After yesterday's 1.4% surge for the rocky S&P 500, let's do the volatility. The Dow is down 144.6%. The S&P 500 down 0.5%. The Nasdaq currently down 0.3%. Market participants are very interested to see tomorrow's U.S. inflation reading. Inflation leading to higher interest rates is one of the things that is feeding the volatility. The president's 2019 budget unveiled yesterday's the administration's wish list with no appropriation attached. The real money is in the two-year deal Congress approved last week, which includes $6 billion to combat the opioid epidemic. From our health desk, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein looked closer.
Opioids kill an average of 115 Americans every day. U.S. Senator Maggie Hassan from New Hampshire knows all about it.
I think about a colleague of my husband's who lost her son. I think about the grandmother who approached me on the state house lawn. This impacts every community in my state. It is an illness that does not discriminate.
We'll see spending details in several weeks, but the $6 billion is expected to fund prevention and law enforcement. Dartmouth health economist Ellen Meir says because the opioid problem is so serious, the federal money must be spent wisely.
There are so many things that we have tried with this epidemic that we don't have good evidence that they work.
For example, electronic databases that track opioid prescriptions. Meir says they have minimal impact on overdose deaths, in part because they fail to capture problems from illegal drug use. What works better, she says, is expanding access to methadone and other medications that help wean people from their addictions. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
The Winter Olympic Games are a celebration of athletic achievement, but they're also a big test of next-generation mobile phone service. The South Koreans have set up not an LTE, not a 4G, but a 5G mobile phone system prototype so that the crowds at the Games can all get good service at once and get virtual reality feeds of some events live on their mobile devices. Now, 5G is so fast you can download a high-def movie in minutes. It allows every fridge, self-driving car, and heart pacemaker to be connected to the Internet. And the Trump administration in recent weeks has floated the idea of the federal government paying to build America's 5G system. Patrick Fowles, New York bureau chief for The Economist magazine, appears here regularly.
It is a sort of paradoxical thing where the Trump administration, the home of free markets, if you like, is arguing for massive state intervention. And the bill for this could be run into hundreds of billions of dollars. Nonetheless, it doesn't actually stack up as badly as you might think. So if you look around the world, there's several other countries, including Singapore, New Zealand, parts of Sweden, which have experimented with the idea of building a single national 5G network and then almost renting it out to a lot of companies who compete with each other. And the idea is rather than having four or five companies duplicate the cost of this thing, it's more efficient just to do it once.
Well,
we used to call it the information superhighway. This is like the federal government building the interstate highway system, making it a toll road, and then letting private companies use it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there are obviously analogs with different bits of the economy. It has to be said, though, that if you look at America's telecoms infrastructure, it's obviously a massive set of interlinking private networks built by scores of different companies over time. So it really is the antithesis of how the U.S. has done this in the past.
So full speed ahead, 5G is coming and coming quickly here in the U.S.?
I think there will be an increasing sense of paranoia in the U.S. that China is catching up in technology in a large number of ways.
Like the space race back in the 50s and 60s.
A perfect metaphor, except we've shifted from the Soviet Union to China. But I think that sense, and you can feel it in Silicon Valley too, that some big grand leap projects are needed so that the US stays ahead in technology, whether it's a private sector solution, a public sector one, or perhaps even a mix of the two. I would expect you see action on this over the next couple of years.
A big question, though, is whether you or I or anybody else wants to pay for this fancier system. I mean, it sounds good, but are you, when it starts showing up in your cell phone bill, are you ready for this?
Well, it's interesting. I had a chat with the guy who runs Spain's telecoms company a couple of weeks ago, and Spain has done a lot to install very new fiber and lots of heavy bandwidth capacity. And his observation, and this is just one test market, is that people are prepared to pay. The catch, I have to add, though, is that Americans pay roughly twice what people in Europe and rich countries in Asia pay. Will they be prepared to pay even more? Let's wait and see.
Patrick Fowles, New York Bureau Chief for The Economist. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Now, some will question whether souped-up internet is the right use of federal money at a time the administration's budget yesterday proposes big cuts to social programs. We'll continue to follow that debate. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.